Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Caleb is the one that is able to text the church. Don't really have that. He's teaching some people to do it, but right now he's the only one that can do it, and he's in Arizona, so I thought I better have him, because we've always done this every time, especially when we spring ahead, we always have light congregation. When we fall back, it seems like we have a full house, but I text him and I say, hey, do you mind texting the church and reminding them that of the time change? And so you all must have read it and got it and changed your clocks. And that's good, and I'm glad you're here. This morning, I got up my usual time, taking my time, thinking I had a lot of time. And then I realized something. I was the one that forgot to set the clock ahead. So I was actually an hour behind. The good news is, like I said, I was actually ahead on this message. Sometimes it's like I'm cramming the last second, still trying to figure out the end of it. Here you are, and here I am. You had the reminder, I didn't. Do you need reminders? As you see, I do. My wife, what she'll do is she'll say, okay, this is what we're doing on March 20th. This is what we're doing, okay? And she'll tell me this in February. And then, 3 weeks before, she'll go, okay, remember, we're doing this thing on March 20th. I'll go, okay, yeah, yeah. 2 weeks, same thing. A week, same thing. The night of. What? You didn't tell me that. Joey says that whenever I send you to the store, I want to pin a note to your shirt so that you know everything I want you to get. As you see, I need reminders. Well, if you're honest, and if we're honest with each other, we all need reminders spiritually. And this morning, we're going to talk about reminding ourselves. So if you would, stand up for the reading of the Word of God. And we're just going to look at two verses this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Starting at verse 14. Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Let's pray. Father, as we open this word, we pray that our hearts would be open, our minds would be in tune, and that we would be reminded once more of the blessing that is not only ours, but ours for eternity. Bless this time together, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what was the grace given to Paul? Well, let me just read a few scriptures here. First of all, understand something. Paul understood something. He was a sinner, and it was the grace of God that saved him. Second, in Galatians chapter 1, he says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. In fact, in the beginning of this epistle, he says that he is an apostle by the grace of God. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles, listen to this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, in verse 14, he says, I myself am confident, or I am persuaded, brethren, you're equal with me. We're brothers. The full goodness. Full of goodness. That word full means whose mind and hearts are filled with thoughts and emotions of goodness, upright of heart and life. You're good. But how are you good? But it's the fruit of the Spirit. Remember he said, I've come to preach Christ in me. It through me. He's for me. He's done it all. So again, I see the goodness in you, the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, if you will, he began this epistle saying, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. The Spirit's working in you. You're full of goodness. Notice what else he says. He says, filled, caused to abound, to furnish or supply liberally all knowledge. The deep knowledge of God's truth in the gospel of Jesus. You know it already. You know these things. But wait a minute. He's writing this right now. They didn't have all these epistles written at this time. They didn't have your New Testament that you have. How would they have all the knowledge? How would they have equipped with everything they need right now? Paul in Corinthians tells us, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We have the Holy Spirit teaching us these truths. You do. You might not think so, but you do. You might not feel so, but you do. God says to all of us, don't you believe me? Don't you trust me? Now, knowing that we have the Spirit inside us, I want you to contemplate this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything. This is mind-boggling. How can we say this? I don't know. There's quantum computers now and all these things that are just these big brains, right? I mean, you take your laptop and somehow you're able to plug into this massive brain and you're able to access all that it knows and what can show you and share with you, right? That is such a lame way of saying, gang, we are connected to Him who has all the answers. Everything. Especially the enigma that is you. You may be confused, but God's not confused about you, neither me. These are some of the things that we need to continually be reminded of. Because, Paul would say, of this, that you have the Spirit working in you and there's the fruit of goodness, that you have the Spirit in you who is all knowledge. Because of this, you are able to admonish one another. Admonish means exhort. One writer puts it this way. It carries the idea of encouraging, warning, and advising. It is a comprehensive term for counseling. In this context, it refers to coming alongside other Christians for spiritual and moral counseling. Paul is not referring to a special gift of counseling, but of the duty of responsibility that every believer has for encouraging and strengthening other believers. Do you ever feel ill-equipped when somebody needs counseling? It ain't about you, folks. It's about the one that is in you. And if you're open, if I'm open, any time that we come across somebody that needs something that is good from God, you may be that vehicle or vessel that God desires to use. Are you open to that? Because you are plugged into Him who has all the answers. Did I mention even the problems that you're struggling with? Verse 15, he says, I have written, brethren, more boldly. I have written. Paul, the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has written Romans and other epistles to preach and teach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Peter likens his epistles to the very Word of God, even as he was writing them. Paul was writing to them to what? To remind them. To remind them of something they already knew. We've been reading Romans, and it's doctrinally, it's a massive treaty of God's doctrine. And we've been going over it. Let's just talk about a few of these. He's saying, you are justified in faith. You know these things. Not by the law, to count yourselves dead to sin. It has no power over you anymore. There's no condemnation. You are alive in Christ. So walk in the Spirit, for He dwells in you. And He is at work in you. Nothing can separate you from His love. You are more than conquerors. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Him, as tools of righteousness in His hands, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know these things. I'm just reminding you. They knew it. So do you. Why? Because we've been going over these things. Now, Peter summarizes Scripture. Do you want to hear it? Listen to this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I am fully convinced of something, brothers and sisters. I am fully convinced of something, and I pray that you too will come to an understanding of this in your own heart and mind. Please understand, I am not trying to say that there is no need of it, but in some ways I will tell you there is no need of it. You have no need to find a counselor outside of biblical counseling. Why? Because think with me. Who has all the knowledge? Who has all the understanding? Who knows you better than anyone? A counselor, all he can do or she can do is help you think through it. Maybe find out why you do the things you do. Maybe help you with some type of triggers that you may have with these things. But ultimately and completely, you will never be healed without the understanding that there's a healer that wants to heal you. There is somebody that wants to walk through this life with you, knowing everything you've gone through, your past, today, and even into your future. That He's at work in you, and He wants all of us to understand that the work that He is doing, He is going to complete. So everything you need to know is in Christ. Everything about yourself, everything you need to know, everything you want to know, every healing that you want of your past, everything that you are and shall be, it's all in Him. That's why we have gathered here. We worship a very great and awesome God. And we need to come together, remind ourselves that we have the answer, that He is the answer. And that we can have, again, this confidence that what He has begun to do in us will be complete. See, brothers and sisters, it comes down to us. Will we listen? Will we learn? Will we submit? Will we obey regardless of how we feel or what we think of ourselves or the situation? There's the roadblock. As we see ourselves in this 3D world, God sees you already in heaven, made perfect. The journey really is for us to explore and to learn about His faithfulness. He is always faithful. Just that He doesn't give us some things that we want. And the timing that we want does not neglect His working in us. Nor does it close Him from us. He's doing it. But are we willing to yield to that? Reminding ourselves. Paul was reminding them. God's word reminds us of these truths. See, my job as a pastor is again to go over these things with you. That we continually put these in our hearts and minds. Paul said to Timothy, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished in the words of faith. And of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Peter said it this way. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Reminding you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. It's what we do here. We continually remind ourselves of these truths. But why? Why is it? Why is it that I can remember things I don't want to remember? And why can't I remember the things I want to remember? Do you struggle with that? We all do. Because we have to understand these things. One is that there's somebody that wants to snatch everything that is good from us. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says that He's the accusers of the brethren. You know what He likes to do? He likes to remind us of our past. He wants to remind us of our failures, our sin. Even if it happened 2 minutes ago, He's there to remind us. He also likes to tell us that none of this works. Why are you listening to this? You've tried this. It doesn't work. The lamest excuse I've ever heard, and I do hear from those that have fallen away from the Lord, is I've tried it, it didn't work for me, so now I'm on to other things. You tried it? You don't try Christianity. You don't try the gospel. You accept the gospel. You accept the one who is about the gospel. You accept the one that is doing the work in you. And He's doing the work in you. Now, let me tell you something, because I used to do construction. People sometimes have this preconceived idea that when you're doing something, that it's going to go the way they think. And a lot of times, people can't handle the chaos that begins the project. Usually when you're building something, especially remodeling, there's chaos before there's construction, before it's complete. And when you start banging on their walls, when you start cutting into their house, when you start doing these things, sometimes they can kind of go, ah, what you doing? I had one woman, it was probably, I'm going to guess, minus 10 degrees outside. And there was a big window. And as I tore it out, and it's out now, most of it, she goes, oh no, I don't want you doing this. Put it back. Put it back. I said, ma'am, I can't put it back. I just cut through it all. She says, oh, my house, it's ruined. It's ruined. It's ruined. I said, ma'am, I've been doing this for many years. I said, look, do you have a basement? Is it warm? Go down in your basement, get your favorite drink. And just stay down there, and I'll call you when I'm done. And she did as I asked. Why? Because she couldn't handle the chaos. Hey, gang, a lot of times we can't handle the chaos in us. God, you got to fix it now. God, you got to do this now. But God's doing something in you. He's working it through so that you would have faith and trust in Him. He's the master builder. He knows what He's doing. He has infinite years of experience because He is infinite. He's at work. You can rest assured that He is doing it right. Oh, maybe not the way we want. Trust me, throughout my life, I've always wanted certain things to happen certain ways. It never has. He's always done it His way. And you know what? Again, my confession to you all, even though I sometimes wish it was different, the reality is He's always done it right. He's perfect. And He's the perfect construction worker. But the enemy wants to remind you of just the chaos. Now, we've come in here, right? We're talking about God's Word to remind ourselves of these things. But why is it that we walk out here and then we forget? Well, again, we find this in Jesus' parable. Though it's really about the gospel, but it's also about the Word of God. See, some seed fell on stony ground. Maybe sometimes we come in here and we're just like, there we go. He's out there talking again. When's he going to quit? I'm going to go home. I see, I'm starting to think about maybe raising canes for lunch. I don't know. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to relax. I'm just, you know, I got a heavy week and now I'm just, I got those all of the projects. He's still talking. There's still other projects. And you got the stony heart. So we're talking about God's Word and the enemy is just snatching it. Why? Because in God's Word is life. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharp. Not me. I'm just this goofball. But God's, I could sit here and just read God's Word to you. You know what? You could be filled. Why? Because I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is. But are you open to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you? So the first thing we have to do is really condition our hearts. And when we come in here, we're like, Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear from you, even if I don't like it. But a lot of times, that's not the deal. See, the deal is sometimes it falls on stony, hard rock places. And other times it falls on rocky soil. And see, the thing with rocky soil is that you receive the word, but the problem is when the sun comes up and it beats down, it's the persecutions, the troubles, and the struggles of life, you forget and I forget. Well, you wake up Monday morning, you're, praise the Lord, and then Monday morning smacks you in the face, and then you just kind of set it aside. And again, it's the way the enemy takes it and steals it from us. Another way is just it's just life in itself. Weedy ground. You know, weeds, right? You got to keep pulling it out so the good stuff grows. Well, that's the way life is too with the Word of God. See, the thing is what keeps us again from growing in the Word of God is we let the things of this world, our cares, our possessions, and everything else weed out the Word of God. And those are the very things that we need to continually put in the proper perspective that God is the supplier of all our needs. Again, our needs, not our wants. No, it's true. Look, you know better. You don't go home and start praying for, I don't know, whatever good car there is now. I guess somebody said a Porsche the other day, a Porsche or whatever. And say, oh Lord, I deserve a Porsche. I deserve this. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. The only thing you deserve is death and sin. That's it. To be dead in your sin. But God says, I see you. I love you. I have something better for you. Trust me. I'm your supplier. I'm the shepherd. I know your needs. I know your wants. But I'll always give you what you need. You trust me. You trust me. Don't forget me. I'm walking with you. Talking to you through this, whatever it is. And we've learned something, haven't we? That whether it's success or failure, they're both two twins of the same coin, meaning they both can take you away from Him. We say no. We have a saying in our house. It says, the mama says no. She would say no to something. Kids, And we would say, Mama said no. Now, it's not like Dad never says no, but it always went with it, because we'd be sitting at the table and Mama would say no, whether it's, can I have another helping of ice cream or whatever, and Mama say no. And so we'd say, the Mama said no. The Mama said no. Why did Mama say no? Because Mama knew it was best for the kids. Now I'm in trouble because I just mentioned my wife again. Kind of even though I threw myself under the bus earlier. You notice I'm not looking towards her right now. She probably has that look on her face that I'll have to deal with later. Lord have mercy. So what is it that we need to do to hear the word when Satan tries to steal it from us? Using our problems, our struggles, our cares, our finances, our possessions. Well, I'm just going to give you four things here quickly. And they will be quickly. The first is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Again, Paul says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words of no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but to be diligent to present yourselves approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or, as the NIV says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A worker that does not need to be reproved. Rightly dividing the word. Are you into His word? Are you studying? Are you diligent about it? Are you reading to learn? Are you learning to grow? Are you trying to clear your very eyes so that you may see His face? Because that is what He's trying to do, is to give us a word picture of Him and what He has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Do you spend the time in His word? What do you chew on through the day? Negative thoughts, bitterness, unforgiveness? Paul says in Philippians, brethren, whatever you do, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything to praise, meditate on these things. Are you chewing on God's word? Are you chewing on God Himself, if you will, whether it's through worship music? And I don't mean it's constantly playing, but when you come to those places, those seem to be impasses where it's a problem or a struggle or a question or a sense of the past, maybe the feeling of failure, the emptiness, do you set your mind back on what is true rather than what the enemy is trying to get you to do? What is true rather than what the enemy is trying to get you to do, and that is to feel like the failure and everything that you think you are, rather than knowing what God says of you, knowing what God's doing. See, it's a constant reminder to all of us to be in God's Word, to study it, but also to chew on it, to chew on the things that are good and that are of God, and understand something. As Jesus said, He said this to us. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Have you ever had that experience? I have, many times. You read something like, you know, the Lord will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Then all of a sudden a bill comes. You go, how are we going to pay for this? And then you start kind of freaking out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then the Holy Spirit reminds you, didn't you remember what I just said? Don't you remember? But it's not going the way I want to. I may lose this. So? Don't you know I can provide thousands of those? What we think we lose really in just our trusting of Him. Did I mention he always supplies our needs? Remind me. That he knows the struggles and everything else we're going through. That he knows everything about you. So Paul said, he goes, hey, this grace has been given to me because I was a knucklehead. I was a sinner. I was a blasphemer. I was the one persecuting the church. And yet God separated me in my mother's womb and said, that's the one. He knew that I needed him. He knew that I would come to the point in realization that you're it. You're all of it. And everything else I was pursuing before is all emptiness. There's nothing to it. It's all wind blown. It's vanity. Just like Solomon said, everything's vanity except you. You're the only reason that I carry on. You're the only reason that I will spend a night in prison being beaten to death with a whip. You're the only reason why I'll bob up and down in the ocean for 24 hours. You're the only reason that I will cross over mountains and over the desert. Not because I'm great, but because of the greatness of who you are and what you've done in my life and what you continue to do. What else would I do? What else is there to do? There's nothing really any reason for living for except for this. You. I give it all away that I may know you. Power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering. To know you, I have it all. To know you, I'm supplied with all. For I have found that whether I'm in need or I have no need, I'm content with you. Can you imagine if we had that mentality? It would be too much that we'd be worried about, huh? But see, again, it's understanding these things is that I need to be in His Word so that I have something to chew on. But also to understand, it's not just about what I know, because I have the Holy Spirit. He's teaching me what I need to know at the moment. He'll always be there teaching, but am I chewing? Am I trusting? Am I reading? Am I studying? And then the last thing. As I'm learning these things, as He's telling me, James tells us, chapter 1, verses 22 and 25, listen to this. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the one that will be blessed in what he does. See, what it all comes down to is that we learn these things. Like right now, what we're learning. We say, oh, this is good stuff. We do. We all do. And then we walk out and then life hits us. And the enemy is going, okay, let's see. Let's see what can happen now as I blow him down. Blow all this stuff out of his mind. Snatch it. I know I'll use the struggles of life. Or I'll use the successes of life. Doesn't matter. Whatever gets him his mind off these things. Because then he's open game. Because see, if he has an empty head, then I can feel it. Oh boy, can I feel it. Oh, with his past failures, maybe his successes. I'll get his head really big. So big he won't be able to fit through the door. He'll think he's it. He doesn't need God. At least not today, not tomorrow, not for a month, not for a year. He'll be mine for a while. And if the Lord says, listen, study it, chew on it, I'll bring it back to remembrance. But understand something. If you really want it to activate in your life, then what I teach you, do it. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Forgive them. Do you have a root of bitterness? Give it to me. Is your heart broken? I'm the healer of hearts. Are you still upset with somebody in your past? Again, forgive. Forgive. Let's go. There's no reason to hold yourself back. Let go. And the things that you keep beating yourself of your failures, didn't I tell you I've already forgotten about them? It's covered. My blood covers it all. Love covers a multitude of sin. And even though you have a problem loving yourself here at this church, the greatest love of all is not the love that you have for yourself. The greatest love of all is God's love for you. That is the greatest. You are loved completely. You are cherished like no one has ever cherished you before or ever will. You are complete in Him. So it's not how much you know, how well you know what you know. Put it to practice. What one thing did you hear this morning that ministered to you? And chew on. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you through it. And then do it. Then you and I will begin to understand all the riches that have been given to us in Christ. And we'll understand why we must come together, not only on Sunday mornings, but you come together with the Lord in your devotion to remind yourselves of these truths and so much more. Now, as we come before the communion table, I'll ask the worship group to come up. Just to understand a simple thing, we're going to be reminded again of something. Now I think, I hope that you somewhat understand why we do communion, because God knows us. We need to be constantly reminded of what God has done, what God is doing, what will be done. Constant. So let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's pray. Father, we just pray as we've read these things, as we studied these things, as we were reminded of these things, help us now chew on it and to be doers of these things. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Thank you for your knowledge and wisdom that surpasses all knowledge on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you continue to, again, encourage us on. And help us to understand that whatever struggles and stuff we're going through, you already have the answer. And the answer, too, is revealed in your word. So, Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for us. Help us to do these things. And help us to trust the giver of all. So, in Jesus' name we pray.